Quasimodo took the day off, apparently, so I figured that out. So, welcome to our final Saturday evening worship service for this pandemic. God willing, the next one won't come ever, or at least 100 years or so. We're doing the service of Matins today. It's the fifth Sunday of the month. That'll be out going through the service book. Hymn numbers 947, 826, 507, and 506. And a note for those who are watching at home, our services will no longer post at 5 in the morning because we've been recording Saturday night to post early Sunday morning. We'll now be recording 8 o'clock service on Sunday, so it'll post sometime after 8 o'clock. You also can watch it live on our YouTube channel starting at 8 o'clock if you prefer that. We'll begin on page 2 with the Confession of Sins. Let us rise. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I confess to God Almighty before the whole company of heaven and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me, forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins. Amen.
Thank you. Cipher in the organ? Okay. It's in the organ, so we can't. It'll be just pleasant background noise for you.
Testament reading today is from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Thanks be to God.
Said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make any
We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Of your wonderful power and your wonderful mystery. Lord, we thank you that we are not expected to know your ways or understand your ways. We are just to believe and follow your commandments. In Jesus' name we pray.
We continue with the sermon in Holy, Holy, Holy on page 12. Hey, why don't we go ahead and shut the organ off for a little bit? Oh, okay. Get the pressure down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The potter grabs up a couple of handfuls of reddish-brown clay and slaps it between his hands, presses it into a smooth ball. He throws the ball of clay into the center of his rotating potter's wheel, and over the next hour, the potter carefully transforms the lump of clay into a beautifully shaped jar, which he then fires in the kiln, and then paints, and then fires again. The potter creates beauty and function from a couple of handfuls of clay. The Lord God Almighty takes a couple of handfuls of fresh dirt and slaps it and presses it and forms it into a man and breathes into him the breath of life. From a pinch of flesh from the side of the man, the Lord God Almighty forms woman and brings her to the man. From this man and woman formed from the dust of the ground, all people have descended. You are the product of the creative power of the Almighty Potter. Now, does the clay jar have any rights to demand things of the potter? What audacity a clay jar must have to question the potter who made it? That's just what old Grandma and Grandpa Eve and Adam decided to do. They are clay jars. God is the potter, yet they are tempted to question God's instructions. They're tempted to want to be like God. The pot is tempted to want to be the potter. This continues throughout history and even unto today. The pot wants to be the potter. In Isaiah 29, you turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay that the thing made should say of its maker, he did not make me? Or the thing formed say of he who formed it, he has no understanding? And in Romans 9, but who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to its molder, why have you made me like this? There is an ongoing desire since the Garden of Eden to question God's authority, to want to be like God, to be your own God. We want to be like God and make God in our image so that God makes sense to us. When people make up religions, they often make up gods that are like themselves. Joseph Smith made up the Mormon God with the idea that God was once like you, and if you try hard enough, you can be like God. People make up gods that make sense. Gods who demand that you do what they say in order to earn their favor. The Greek and Roman gods were created in the image of man with the same flaws as people. Now in Islam, they didn't so much make up a new god, but they rejected things about the true God that did not make sense. The idea of God being incarnate or God being spirit. They teach that Allah is beyond all comprehension. Now this helps make God make sense. And while it does acknowledge God's majesty, it's fatally flawed because it rejects God the Son and the Holy Spirit in order that the pot can make better sense of the potter. There is a deep desire to have God make sense. But the true God does not make sense. Three persons, one God. God the Father is spirit. Jesus was spirit, then took on flesh. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Three persons, one God. It does not make sense. And that really does make sense, because if you have a God that makes sense, it means that someone made him up. It makes sense that the true God is beyond understanding, because he is the potter and you are the pot. The true God is spirit, a personal being without a body. John 4, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The true God also takes on human flesh in God the Son in order to redeem humanity in John 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. At Christmas, we celebrate God coming to be with us as that little baby boy born in Bethlehem. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. The true God is beyond your understanding. He is incomprehensible. God does not make sense. The Trinity does not make sense. You cannot understand God. God is uncreated, eternal, infinite, almighty, co-equal, co-eternal. When we think about it, our minds really are quite limited in our understandings. God is eternal. He is infinite. He has no beginning and no end. Now, we have symbols in mathematics to represent infinity, but we do not have a handle on infinity. I can draw a line and put an arrow at both ends and say that represents infinity or eternity, but my mind cannot comprehend something that has no beginning and no end. We cannot understand how God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has always been and always will be. Arius, a theologian from Alexandria, Egypt in the late 3rd and early 4th century, taught that God the Son is not co-eternal with the Father, but was begotten by the Father in time. This was rightly condemned as heresy by the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. This led to the Nicene Creed. Opposition to Arius was led by another Alexandrian theologian, Athanasius, along with others, including Nicholas of Myra. Old Saint Nicholas was not so jolly one day at the council. He became so enraged that he went up and slapped Arius in the face, not the kind of behavior you expect from the bishops. The Athanasian Creed was a further clarification of biblical truth in opposition to the Arians, and it clearly expresses what we can know about the Trinity. It's named after Athanasius, who most likely did not write it, but it is the creed we confess on Trinity Sunday. God is eternally holy. He's infinitely pure, and he's perfectly just. In our Old Testament reading, we see Isaiah coming into the presence of God and having an intense time of confession and absolution. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah has seen God, Yahweh Sabaoth, Yahweh of heavenly armies. There are there angelic beings, cherubim and seraphim. And one called to another said, holy, holy, holy is Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah knows his sin and feels his own guilt and shame. But Yahweh does not crush Isaiah. He does not give Isaiah a list of tasks to earn his forgiveness. Instead, he sends a seraphim to Isaiah with a burning coal, and he touched Isaiah's mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. As you gather together each week, you come into the presence of the eternal God, Yahweh Sabaoth, and you get on your knees and plead guilty of your sins. The foundations of the church building do not shake. The sanctuary is not filled with smoke. There are no cherubim or seraphim flying around. And the danger is that this can get to be routine. But know that you are coming into the presence of the infinite, incomprehensible God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and admitting that you deserve immediate and eternal punishment. And God does not strike you dead. He does not give you a list of things to do to work off your debt. Instead, he forgives your sins. He declares you forgiven and touches your lips with his body and blood in holy communion. He cleanses you and makes you holy and pure. Jesus' death and resurrection are credited to you as a free gift of love from God. And you are called by God to live out your holiness in love and service to others, doing what you have been given to do and responding to God's call to do what he wants you to do. You are called to live as someone whose body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, praying the words of Isaiah 64, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand." When you find yourself alone on a clear, dark night, staring heavenward at the stars, and you stare into infinity and realize how small you are in the universe, you are small in the universe. And still the infinite God loves you and cares for you and forgives you and even knows how many hairs are on your head. God is incomprehensible. The pot cannot understand much about the potter and yet remains the potter's treasure. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, giving you the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for you. You have the treasure of God. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. The good news about Jesus indeed comes in jars of clay, but it remains an eternal treasure. You are a creation of the infinite God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are a treasured pot made by the eternal potter. You have been sealed by the infinite God. And while you cannot comprehend eternity, you have eternal life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith. Until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess together the Athanasian Creed.
Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. And the Catholic faith is this:
that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in Unity.
For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, The Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord.
Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also we are prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords.
The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone.
The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created, nor begotten, but
proceeding. Thus there is one Father, not three fathers. One Son, not three sons. One Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, it is by faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man.
He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age. Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity.
Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ.
One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God.
One altogether, not by the confusion of substance, but by the unity of person.
For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ.
He suffered for our salvation. He ascended into heaven, rose again the third day from heaven.
Ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire.
This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe in faith,
faithfully
and firmly, cannot be saved.
The prayers today were Carol and I was not finished. Receiving her chemotherapy and radiation treatments, Rebecca Crofton, who has cancer, Jeff Snell, Alan Delita's son, is hospitalized with a brain bleed, for Shauna Miller, Doris Bowman's daughter, recovering from back surgery, for David Levy, Tom Martin's uncle, who is beginning treatments for pancreatic cancer, for the family of Kathy Brock, who died this last week, for Albert Hamlin, Frederick Selmer, having heart surgery, for James Taylor, Snell's son-in-law has been hospitalized with heart issues. And for Marissa Snell, Snell's granddaughter-in-law, who's having difficulties in late pregnancy. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For an ever-growing understanding of the depths of God's riches, wisdom, and knowledge through his word, that we may glorify him forever, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, for the missionaries of our church as they go to the ends of the earth with the good news of the gospel, that many may hear of God's love in his Son and be saved through faith in him. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who deny the new birth of water and spirit to infants and children, that the Lord of hosts would open their eyes and hearts to the fullness of his grace, and these little ones would be hindered no longer from being born again and seeing his kingdom. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
in thanksgiving to those who served our nation through military service and in grateful remembrance of those who gave their lives for us and for the cause of freedom, that we may honor their sacrifice by using our liberty responsibly. For all who travel, that they will be kept safe, for our nation and its blessings, and for aiding, protecting, and increasing the benefits we have for those who follow us. Looking always to you, from whom these benefits come, let us pray to the Lord. For Karen, Becky, Jeff, Shauna, David, Kathy's family, Alan, James, Marissa, and all who suffer in our midst, of the Lord of hosts would uphold them in the truth, that since he is at their right hand, they cannot be shaken. They would gladden their hearts, cause their tongues to rejoice, and make their flesh dwell in hope. Let us pray to the Lord. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen. We continue with the Te Deum.
Thank you.
be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Keep us steadfast in this faith and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign one God, now and forever. Amen. O Lord, Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our movements, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.